Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ezekiel 37, beginning at verse 1. Ezekiel 37, beginning at verse 1. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man. And say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And tonight I want to preach to you this thought. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? And if I was to give you a subtitle, it would be simply this: Reviving the Dream. Reviving the Dream. Lord Jesus, we come before you now. We pray, Jesus, that you would just move with us through your Spirit as we dig into your word, that you would speak to us. Help us to listen and understand, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a seat, everybody. And so we come up to the scripture as Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was a prophet of the Lord. He was of the tribe of Levi, so he was also a priest. And Ezekiel was during the captivity of Israel. And so he was prophesying of a hope that was to come, that God would be their deliverer. And as we see that Ezekiel comes with a vision, and it says that the Lord had carried him in this vision and had dropped him into a place, a valley. Now we can only speculate that in Ezekiel's vision that perhaps he was dropped into where Sodom and Gomorrah was, where it was probably about 1,300 feet below sea level. It'd be quite hot, quite dry, quite barren. And Ezekiel, he was set amongst a valley of bones. And this is where we're picking up the story. And you know, in old times, it's nothing unusual that when an army was defeated, you know what the soldiers, the winning army would do? They would strip the dead. They'd take all the valuables. They would spoil, as it were, the dead troops. And then you know what they would do? They would leave the dead unburied. And in distant areas where battles had taken place, the skeletons had remained for years sometimes, rotting and decaying, and yet being eaten by scavengers, things in the field. And so this vision that Ezekiel had wasn't just a concept. Ezekiel lived in a time where he could have walked in valleys filled with bones, literally, of the slain in past battles. Furthermore, in the Bible, we know that through Leviticus, it says that a body that is not properly buried was considered to be accursed of God. And since Ezekiel was a prophet and a priest, you know, think of it like this. He was placed in the middle of a valley full of dead man's bones, up to your ankles deep in bones. There was a lot of bones. You know, I thought about it and I thought this may have been a paradise for dogs, but for a priest, it would have been something very uncomfortable. You know, to touch a dead body rendered a person unclean. Think of it like this. So it must have been extremely difficult for Ezekiel to fathom and to accept to be walking among the dead. But this is where God had placed him. He didn't go there himself. God placed him there. Because God wanted to show Ezekiel something that was far more important than what he could plainly see with just his eyes. God put Ezekiel in the midst of the bones. Then in verse 2 says, he even made Ezekiel walk around in them. His first impression was there were very many. That was Ezekiel's first impression. There were very many bones. There wasn't just a few bodies of bones here and there, but there was a sea of them. His second impression was that they were very dry. You know, very dry bones only get that way when they're being picked clean and weathered in the sun and the rain and you name it for a very long time. They become bleached and white. Father and son camp just this weekend. Josh, my son here, and I think somebody else, who was it? Just you? Found kangaroo bones. You know? No, he didn't do that. But it reminded me, bones just don't get there by themselves. Something had to die in order to provide that bone. And the bone was picked clean, thankfully. No, he didn't pick it clean. But praise God. And it only got like that because of the weathering, the storms, the sun, animals, ants, you name it. And after Ezekiel has had time to draw some conclusions, God asks him a profound question. Can these bones live? Can they? You know, when I see dry bones, I can be rest assured they're not going to be getting up and kicking. You know, I'm not going to be seeing skeletons running around, slapping each other on the shoulder blades. I'm not going to see old Joe get up and have an argument with Bob, say, I got a bone to pick with you. Okay, sorry. And I'm not going to carry the joke on any further. But you know, why didn't Ezekiel answer God in a similar fashion? Don't be ridiculous. How can these bones live? There's nothing on them. But you know what Ezekiel said? Well, God, you know the answer to that one. You know the answer, God. Instead, he puts it right back into the hands of God. It tells me too that Ezekiel, he understood that with God, anything is possible. Anything. He wasn't going to discount a single thing. And you know, as I was thinking about this scripture and preparing this message, God moved, and I began to see a valley of broken dreams, destroyed as it were by battles, and then left to decay, to rot, and eventually dry out. You know, I could have taken this message any number of ways, but I felt the Lord move this way. I can imagine myself walking among those bones. And as Ezekiel said, there were very many. You know, I can see myself bending over and picking up one of these bones. You know, this person had aspirations once. He had dreams once. He had hopes. He had a future that he thought would come to pass. But all that is left of him is a bone, a dry bone. And in my mind, I can imagine God saying to me as I'm looking at this and holding the bone, and he says, "Preacher, can this bone live? Can it live?" And I'm surrounded by an experience that is real. I'm surrounded by bones and I'm holding one. And everything inside of me is screaming, "God, that's impossible. It's impossible." But my reply when God says to me, "Preacher, can these bones live?" is simply, "God, you know. God, you know." Making those dry bones live again is something that God can only do. It's something that God himself can only do. Let's pick it up in verse 4 of the same chapter. "Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live." And he goes in verse 6, talks about rebuilding the body. Verse 7, he prophesied as he was commanded. And verse 8, the bodies were built. And so God tells Ezekiel to speak to these dead bones. "O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." You know, God has a great sense of humor. We could think that. "You're just having me on here, aren't you, God? Come on. Prophesy to dead, dry bones. Come on, let's get with the program here. This is not my idea of a captive audience, Lord." You know, is this message going to be something worth living for? It was. In verse 7, Ezekiel did exactly what God told him to do. And you know, he heard something as soon as he spoke the word of the Lord. Can you imagine it? He probably heard the wind. He maybe felt the tremor underneath his feet. He definitely heard some noise. He looks down and he begins to see the bones clattering, shaking. Do you imagine that? Imagine if you're in the middle of a valley full of dry bones, and all of a sudden all these bones start moving around in front of you. This is what Ezekiel saw. Then old Joe's legs, scattered from one end of the valley to the other, comes flying across and they connect. The finger bones that were somewhere over there came back to this skeleton here. Bones were flying around everywhere. But he watches as the skeletons come back together again, complete to their original owners. And then he sees something even more amazing. He begins to see the muscle and the nerves rebuild over the top of those bones. He begins to see all the blood come back into the body. You know, yeah, it sounds pretty gross, doesn't it? He sees the insides get put back in. Hundreds of them. Who knows, thousands of them. And finally, to appease his mind, he sees the skin go on. But you know something? These bodies, that's all they were, bodies. They looked like new. They were great, good-looking bodies, all put back together again. But they were still corpse. There was no breath in them. You know what it takes to revive dreams? To bring back something from the dead? You know, God can only do it. Do you believe that? Do you believe God can bring dreams back? I do. But when he does it, it's never incomplete. It's never incomplete. And you know, Colossians tells us not to be complete in anything else. It tells us that you are complete in him. And the moment you begin to feel incomplete, you're out of sync with Jesus. Because the only way you can be complete is in him, in Jesus Christ. Ezekiel wasn't left hanging by a thread, tantalized as it were with, wow, nice army. That's all they are, a sea of bodies. And so God in verse 9 said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain that they may live. And Ezekiel did exactly that. And breath came into these bodies. And it says they stood up their feet, an exceeding great army. Okay, God. First, you wanted me to prophesy to some dead bones. And now you're asking me to prophesy to the wind. This is an element of faith. Because what we see is not what God sees. And so when God was speaking, he already foreknew. He knew what was going to happen. All he wanted was obedience. And that's exactly what Ezekiel did. He obeyed God. And he prophesied to the wind. And you know, sometimes as preaching and speaking the word of God, sometimes it may feel like that we prophesied to the wind, but God knows. God speaks. God moves. He's the one that does the work, praise God. He's the one that lifts up, builds up, strengthens, encourages, fills with his spirit. He's the one that does everything. And then God fills them with breath, with life. An exceeding great army stood up. And once again, I say to you, preacher, can these bones live? And the same answer comes, God, you only know. And you know, I'm speaking to somebody after hearing Pastor speak this morning, how God can heal the brokenhearted, that he's come for those who are bruised. In this place, I don't know, but I know there are dead dreams because God has showed me that there are broken bodies through the valley. And I say to you in the name of Jesus, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. If you want to commence being revived, if you want your dreams and aspirations to be restored, then the first thing you need to do is hear the word of the Lord. Whenever that word goes forth, hear it. Hear it. Allow it to penetrate somewhere in here. Hear the word of the Lord. It's time to put aside, you know, the woe is me perspective. It's done and dusted mentality. And begin to believe that God is able to revive those dead bones. And I'll say furthermore that God is able to breathe life into those bones, into that body. And your dreams shall live. Shall live. You know, your bones may be scattered from one end of the valley to the other. You may think that everything's a foregone conclusion, that things have passed and left you behind. But I can declare to you in the name of Jesus that it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. Amen. It's not over. You know, there's a lot of commotion going on down in that valley, in the valley of your heart. There's a lot of noise happening in there. Stop ignoring it. Stop pushing it down. Stop pretending it's not there. Because God is at work in there. God is stirring you up. God is doing something. He can revive the dead bones in your life. Let him. Yes. You know, those dreams, they can be fleshed out once again. They can be as good as new. And God can revive you with his Spirit. May he bring life into your dreams again. Praise God. May he wash over you once again like a wave of the sea. Praise the Lord. You know, I think one of the greatest dreams that seems to die is to dream that one day some family member will be saved. You know, we are burdened with our own families. We are. We want to see our own families come to the Lord. I've got extended family out there that I would dearly love to see back in the house of the Lord. And sometimes we just think, God, it's never going to happen. It is impossible. Those bones are dead, God. But I want to say to you tonight in Jesus' name that God is able to revive the bones that you think are dead. Preacher, can these bones live? And I say, God, you know. It's time to stop quitting on these dreams and start reliving them. Start building them. Start fleshing them out again. Start believing that God is able to come through like he said he would do. I grew tired of people in the world who've lost hope. That is why we're here. People out there have no dreams. They have no hope. They need Jesus. But people in here should have a hope. They should have a dream. They should have an aspiration. They should know that God is going to do something. This is our God. We serve a mighty God who believes that. We serve a mighty God who can move the mountains. As the pastor said this morning, God specializes in mountain removal. And he is mighty to save. Maybe you were like Peter. You know, Peter, we always say he had his foot and mouth. But you know, most of us at one time or another have been no better. I can surely testify to that. Put our foot in our mouth and whoops. And the one time when it mattered most was when Peter denied Jesus. And you know, for Peter, the dream died, because it tells us that he went out and he wept bitterly. And if we were to study those two words, wept bitterly, it said he made a lamentation. He cried his heart out. He wailed. And you know, this is how broken Peter was, that his dream just died because he just denied the Lord. But he went further than that. He thought, well, what hope is there? You know, he's gone. I've got nowhere to go. And you know what he did? He said, I go fishing. He went back to his old life. He thought, well, too bad. I burnt that bridge. The bones have died. But you know, in Mark chapter 16, where they went to the grave, it tells us that the angel had met them there. And the women that had stayed behind, the angel said to these women, he said, Jesus is not dead, but he's risen. And he goes before you into Galilee. Go and tell his disciples and Peter. And Peter. It tells me that Jesus hasn't forgotten. That Jesus forgives. That Jesus loves. That Jesus remembers. That God is not willing that any should perish. And what he's saying is, Peter, I'm coming again. I'm going to revive the dream once again. It's not over, Peter. We're not even done yet here, Peter. You've got things to do, Peter. Peter, don't give up. I'm on my way. And praise God, tonight Jesus is on his way. Amen. And he's telling you tonight, I go before you. And I just want you to know that I know you by name. And that I see you. And I see your troubles. And I see your struggles. And that God, he understands. And Peter. And what about those like Jairus? Jairus is on his way to see Jesus. Jesus is in the middle of doing another miracle. We know that there's a woman with the issue of blood in this same occurrence happening. And she's getting her needs met. Her dream is becoming realized. But on the same token, in the very same chapter, a man's dream has just died. Because as he was going to see the master, somebody said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your little girl's dead. How heartbroken was he? God, I was just on my way, God. I was just on my way to meet the one who could possibly have saved my dream, saved my little girl. But now she's gone. And Jesus, he's there in the moment. With Jairus. He says, don't doubt, but believe. And tonight the same word goes to you. Don't doubt anymore, but believe. And you know, Jesus and Jairus went back to that house. And Jesus leant over the girl and told her to arise. And he presented her unto Jairus. Jesus revived the dream. He revived the little girl. He brought hope back once again. He fleshed it out. Everything that he thought he had lost had come back again. There was hope and joy once again. Praise God. I'm going to finish here. Brother Joel, if you'll come. And maybe you feel like Lazarus. You know, Lazarus had been in the grave 4 or 5 days, Mary and Martha had wondered where Jesus was. You know, Jesus, had you been here sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. You don't think Jesus didn't feel what they were feeling? You don't think that Jesus didn't have that sense of humanity about him, that he just lost his friend? And it says that Jesus wept. He cried over Lazarus. He felt everything that we feel when we go through loss. And to Mary and Martha, they just lost everything. As you know, the man was the provider. They just lost the dream. They'd lost the hope. They'd lost the future. They'd lost everything. Jesus, had you been here just a moment sooner, things would have worked out, Jesus. It would have been okay, Jesus, had you come just that day or two sooner. But look now, my dream is buried in a cave somewhere, rotting and stinking. But Jesus, he says to Martha, roll the stone away. Roll it away. But Jesus, by now, he smells. He said, did I not say that if you would believe, you would see the power of God? And so Martha rolls the stone away. Not Martha, but obviously some other people did. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of that grave, hopping. He was still bound in clothes, grave clothes. The dream that had been dead, lying in a grave, dormant and buried, God revived and brought back again. And tonight I bring you hope. I bring you a message that Jesus is speaking tonight. I am here to revive the dream once again. I'm here to bring those dead bones, those dry bones, back to life once again. I don't know what's happened in your life. I don't know the disappointment that you've faced. I don't know whether you've had marital problems, whether you've had family problems, whether you have been disappointed in or out of church. I don't know any of that. But this one thing I do know, and the pastor pointed it out this morning, forgetting those things which are behind, I look forward, I go ahead, I proceed forth, I reach to Jesus. I don't want to reach to anybody else. I want to reach to Jesus. Look, he's the one that can make these bones live. Let us stand to our feet, amen. Can these bones live? Ask yourself that question. Can these bones live? Do you believe you're beyond that? Or do you believe that Jesus is able? That my God is able? Have the praise singers come. I want to open the altar up, that you can come and pray and seek the Lord and believe that Jesus is able to revive the dream. The dream that perhaps you wanted to be healed. The dream that perhaps you wanted to see your family united again. The dream that you wanted to see God do something. These bones will live. Amen.